Hello, it is Monday, March 27th, 2023, and I'm Lou Miranda, and today I'll be reading the front pages of the Hartford Courant and the New York Times. Let's check out the photographs on the front page of the Hartford Courant, and there's three big ones, all reflective of a children's hospital expansion that is being in construction right now. The first picture is the outside of a building that is under construction, and there's construction equipment that is enabling workers to get up the side of the building. This particular picture is of a $47 million 900-space parking garage to service the $280 million hospital expansion on Washington Street. Then there's another picture of a rendering showing the front of the build of the new hospital as it would be seen from Washington and Lincoln Streets in Hartford. And then the last picture is that of a old restaurant that's been closed for many years. It was called J Restaurant and Bar, and that is part of the controversy that's going on right now about the expansion. And we'll have a story on this. And the last picture is that of a devastated community called Rolling Fork, Mississippi, and there's a homeowner there sorting through the rubble of her house at one point, and this is just a pile of rubble, and we'll have a story on that also. So let's go to our first story, Recovery and Focus After Fatal Storm Rip Apart Towns, by Michael Goldberg and Emily Wagner Pettis, out of Mississippi. Help began pouring into one of the poorest regions of the U.S. after a deadly tornado tore a path of destruction for more than an hour across a long swath of Mississippi, even as furious new storms Sunday struck across the Deep South. At least 25 people were killed and dozens of others were injured in Mississippi as the massive storm ripped through more than a half dozen towns late Friday. A man was also killed in Alabama after his trailer home flipped over several times. Research and recovery crews resumed the daunting task of digging through flattened and battered homes, commercial buildings, and municipal offices after hundreds of people were displaced. The storm hit so quickly that the Sheriff's Department in Rolling Forks barely had time to set off sirens to warn the community of 2,000 residents, said Mayor Eldridge Walker. And by the time they initiated the siren, the storm had hit, and it tore down the siren that's located right over there, Walker said, referring to an area just blocks from downtown. The mayor said his town was devastated. Sharkey County, Mississippi, is one of the poorest counties in the state of Mississippi, and we're still resilient, he said. We've got a long way to go, and we certainly thank everybody for their prayers and for anything they will do or can do for this community. President Joe Biden issued an emergency declaration for Mississippi early Sunday, making federal funding available to hardest-hit areas. Recovery efforts in Mississippi were underway even as the National Weather Service warned of a new risk of more severe weather Sunday, including high winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes in Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. A tornado touched down early Sunday in Troup County, Georgia, near the Alabama border, according to the Georgia Municipal Aid Group. Affected areas included the county seat of LaGrange, about 67 miles southwest of Atlanta. About 100 buildings were damaged, with at least 30 uninhabitable, and 5 people suffered minor injuries, officials said. Many roads, including Interstate Highway 85, were blocked by debris. The supercell that produced the deadly twister also appeared to produce tornadoes causing damage to northwest and north-central Alabama, a severe storm forecaster said with the Weather Service's Storm Prediction Center. In Georgia, Rachel McMahon awoke Sunday to news from her disabled father that the Troup County motel he had been staying in was destroyed. She said her dad took shelter in the bathtub when the tornado hit. He was badly shaken up but not injured. She had to walk the last half mile to his motel because of downed trees. So thankful my dad is okay, she posted on Facebook, along with photos and videos of the damaged houses with gaping holes in roofs, massive tree trunks snapped in half, and power lines dangling every which way. Our next story is titled Ukrainians Demand UN Meeting, by Carl Ritter. Ukraine's government on Sunday called for an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council to counter the Kremlin's nuclear blackmail after Russian President Vladimir Putin revealed plans to station tactical atomic weapons in Belarus. One Ukrainian official said Russia took Belarus as a nuclear hostage. Further heightening tension, an explosion deep inside Russia wounded 3 people Sunday. Russian authorities blamed a Ukrainian drone for the blast, which damaged residential buildings in a town just 110 miles south of Moscow. Russia has said the plan to station tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus comes in response to the West's military support for Ukraine. Putin announced the plan in a TV interview that aired Saturday, saying it was triggered by a UK decision to provide Ukraine with armor-piercing rounds containing depleted uranium. Putin argued that by deploying its tactical nuclear weapons in Belarus, Russia was following the lead of the U.S. He noted that Washington has nuclear weapons based in Belgium, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, and Turkey. Tactical nuclear weapons are intended for use on the battlefield and have a short range and a low yield compared with much more powerful nuclear warheads fitted to long-range missiles. Russia plans to maintain control over the ones it sends to Belarus, and construction of storage facilities for them will be completed by July 1, Putin said. Russia has stored its tactical nuclear weapons at dedicated depots on its territory, and moving part of the arsenal to a storage facility in Belarus would up the ante in the Ukrainian conflict by placing them closer to Russian aircraft and missiles already stationed there. The U.S. said it would monitor the implication of Putin's announcement. So far, Washington hasn't seen any indication Russia is preparing to use nuclear weapon, National Security Council spokesman Adrian Watson said. In Germany, the foreign ministry called it a further attempt at nuclear intimidation, German news agency DPA reported late Saturday. Our next story is titled, Netanyahu Fires Minister Resisting Judicial Overhaul, by Ian Ben-Zion. Tens of thousands of Israelis poured into the streets of the cities across the country Sunday night in a spontaneous outburst of anger over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu abruptly firing his defense minister for challenging the Israeli leader's judicial overhaul plan. Protesters in Tel Aviv blocked a main highway and lit large bonfires while police scuffled with protesters who gathered outside Netanyahu's private home in Jerusalem. The unrest deepened in a months-long crisis over Netanyahu's plan to overhaul the judiciary, which has sparked mass protests, alarmed business leaders and former security chiefs, and drawn concern from the United States and other close allies. Netanyahu's dismissal of Defense Minister Yoav Gallant signaled that the prime minister and his allies will barrel ahead this week with the overhaul plan. Gallant had been the first senior member of the ruling Likud party to speak out against it, saying the deep divisions were threatening to weaken the military. But as the droves of protesters flooded the streets late into the night, Likud ministers began indicating willingness to hit the brakes. Cultural Minister Miki Zohar, a Netanyahu confidant, said the party would support him if he decided to pause the judicial overhaul. Tens of thousands of Israelis poured into the streets in protest after Netanyahu's announcement, blocking Tel Aviv's main artery, transforming the Avalon Highway into a sea of blue and white Israeli flags, and lighting a large bonfire in the middle of the road. Demonstrators also took place in Beersheba, Haifa, and Jerusalem. Police scuffled with protesters and sprayed the crowd with a water cannon. Thousands then marched from the residence of the Knesset, Israel's parliament. Netanyahu's decision came less than a day after Gallant, the former senior general, called for a pause in the controversial legislation until after next month's Independence Day holiday, citing the turmoil in the ranks of the military. Gallant had voiced concerns that the divisions in the society were hurting morale in the military and emboding Israel's enemies. Netanyahu's government is pushing ahead for a parliamentary vote this week on a centerpiece of the overhaul, a law that would give the governing coalition the final say over all judicial appointments. It also seeks to pass laws that would grant parliament the authority to override Supreme Court decisions with a basic majority and limit judicial review of laws. Netanyahu and his allies say the plan will restore a balance between the judicial and executive branches and rein in what they see as an interventionist court with liberal sympathies. But critics say the constellation of laws will remove the checks and balances in Israel's democratic system and concentrate power in the hands of the governing coalition. They also say that Netanyahu is on trial for corruption charges, has a conflict of interest. In recent weeks, discontent has been surging within the Israeli army, the most popular and respected institution among Israelis' Jewish majority. A growing number of Israeli reservists, including fire pilots, have threatened to withdraw from voluntary duty in the past week. The fast-paced legal and political developments have catapulted Israel into uncharted territory and toward burgeoning constitutional crisis. We are at the start of a constitutional crisis in the sense that there's a disagreement over the source of authority and legitimacy of different governing bodies. Our next story is titled, Lawmakers Cozy Up to January 6 Rioters, by Lisa Mascaro. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene swept into the District of Columbia jail to check on the conditions for the January 6th defendants, with Republican lawmakers handshaking and high-fiving the prisoners who chanted, "Let's go, Brandon," a coded vulgarity against President Joe Biden as the group left. A day earlier, Speaker Kevin McCarthy met with the mother of a slain rioter, Alicia Babbitt, an Air Force veteran who was shot and killed by police as he tried to climb through a broken window during the January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol. And the House Republican leader recently gave Fox News' Tucker Carlson exclusive access to a trove of January 6th surveillance tapes, despite the conservative commentator's airing of conspiracy theories about the Capitol attack. Taken together, the House Republicans can be seen as working steadily but intently to distort the facts of the deadly riot, which played out for the world to see when Donald Trump's supporters laid siege to the Capitol and in the process downplayed the risk of domestic extremism in the U.S. In actions and legislation, the Republicans are seeking to portray perpetrators of the Capitol riot as victims of zealous federal prosecutors, despite many being convicted of serious crimes. As Trump calls for the January 6th defendants to be pardoned, some House Republicans are attempting to rebrand those who stormed the Capitol as political prisoners. The result is alarming to those who recognize a dangerously Orwellian attempt to whitewash recent history. There's no question that Marjorie Taylor Greene and other Republicans are attempting to rewrite history, said Heidi Brick, co-founder of the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism. They're making light of what was a serious attack on our democracy. The tour Greene led at the local jail Friday comes as nearly 1,000 people have been charged by the Justice Department in the attack of the Capitol. Leaders of the extremist Oath Keepers convicted of seditious conspiracy, the 20 or so defendants being held at jail, many in pretrial detention on serious federal charges, are among those who battled police at the Capitol, officials said, in what times was a gruesome, bloody scene of violence and mayhem. While the local jail has long been the subject of complaints, the U.S. Marshals made plans to relocate 400 prisoners after a surprise 2021 inspection found parts of the facility that do not meet minimum standards. The January 6th defendants have been housed in a newer wing that was not cited as problematic in the Marshall's statement. The two Democrats who joined the tour as members of the House Oversight Committee said that both had visited the detention facilities before. "It's probably as good as a jail can be," said Representative Jasmine Crockett, Democrat of Texas, a former public defender. Democratic Representative Robert Garcia of California noted that the way the Republicans led by Greene treated the January 6th defendants as celebrities, shaking their hands and slapping backs when the lawmakers arrived in the facility. As they left, the defendants chanted the "Let's go, Brandon" phrase against Biden. What is most important to remember is that while Marjorie Taylor Greene and others want to treat these folks as pseudo-celebrities, some of these folks are insurrectionists, Mark Garcia said, and we can't forget that. Our next story is titled, "Honduras Formalizes China Ties After Spurning Taiwan." This is by the Associated Press. Honduras established diplomatic ties with China on Sunday after breaking off relations with Taiwan, which is increasingly isolated and now recognized by only 13 sovereign states. Foreign ministers from China and Honduras signed a joint communique in Beijing, a decision the Chinese foreign ministry hailed as the right choice. The diplomatic victory for China comes as tensions rise between Beijing and the United States, including over China's increasingly assertiveness towards self-ruled Taiwan and signals growing Chinese influence in Latin America. The new China-Honduras relationship was announced after the Honduran and Taiwanese governments made separate announcements saying that they had severed ties. China and Taiwan have been locked in a battle for diplomatic recognition since the split amid civil war in 1949, with Beijing spending billions to win recognition for its One China policy. China claims Taiwan is part of its territory to be brought under its control to force if necessary, and refuses most contacts with countries that maintain formal ties with the island democracy. It threatens retaliation against countries merely for increasing contacts. China's foreign minister, Qin Gang, said the establishment of ties proved that adhering to the One China policy is winning people's hearts and is the general trend. "We inform sternly the Taiwan authorities that engaging in separatist activities for Taiwan independence is against the will and interests of the Chinese nation and against the trend of history and is doomed to a dead end," he said. The Honduran foreign ministry said in a statement on Twitter that its government recognizes only one China in the world, and that Beijing is the only legitimate government that represents all of China. It added that Taiwan is an inalienable part of Chinese territory, and as of today, the Honduran government has informed Taiwan of the severance of diplomatic relations, pledging not to have any official relationship or contact with Taiwan. Taiwanese President Tsai Ing-wen said her government would not engage in a meaningless contest of dollar diplomacy with China. Over these past few years, China has persistently used various means to suppress Taiwan's international participation, escalate military intrusion, and disrupt peace and stability in the region, she said in a recorded video. Analysts have warned about the new implications and new ties between China and Honduras. Political analyst Graco Perez in Honduras said Beijing's narrative would highlight the benefits, but that is all going to be illusionary. Perez says some other countries have established such relations, but it didn't turn out to be what they had been offered. The next story is titled, Fourth Person Found Dead in Pennsylvania Chocolate Factory Blast, Three Still Missing. It's out of West Reading, Pennsylvania. A fourth person was confirmed dead and three people remained unaccounted for on Sunday, 2 days after a powerful explosion at a chocolate factory shook a small town in Pennsylvania. West Reading Borough Chief of Police Wayne Halbin confirmed the body of a fourth victim was found under debris early Sunday at the R.M. Palmer Company plant in the West Borough of West Reading, about 60 miles northwest of Philadelphia. Holbrook asked for continued prayers from the community and vowed that rescuers and officials will not rest until every single person affected by this tragedy has been accounted for from the blast that occurred just before 5 p.m. Friday. Rescue crews have been using heat imaging equipment and dogs to search for possible survivors after the blast destroyed one building and damaged a neighboring building. Crews were using heavy equipment to methodically and carefully pull debris from the site. Marlboro Fire Chief Chad Moyer said Saturday night that the chance of finding survivors was decreasing rapidly due to the explosive force and the amount of time that had passed. Mayor Samantha Cagg said that officials were still hopeful to at least get some answers and get some recoveries so that people have their reassurance and that closure. We just are trying to hold on to as much hope as we can to get the right answers and get quality answers to get information to those that are affected and then let them go over the investigation. R.M. Palmer said in a statement Saturday afternoon that everyone at the company was devastated and was reaching out to employees and their families through first responders and disaster recovery organizations because its communication systems were down. Cagg, a volunteer firefighter herself, said rescue crews have been working 12 to 16-hour shifts and were so dedicated to continuing their search that you have to pull them away at this point to swap them out and get some rest. Governor Josh Shapiro has vowed state support.